Yes, and I think that is I
Uh,
think that is
and,
what.
my, and my last question is there a, since the policies are so different, it sounds like Madison is at most risk when the other communities have more, whatever the word would be, the different policies that would lead to greater propensity for accidents. So there's more risk for Madison.
Well, I think that people think I think these suburban agencies have a history of coming into Madison to try to do traffic stops or right on the border, and so I would prefer for them to police their own communities, and so and then if they want to chase people, if they want to get in high speed chases in the village of Maple Bluff, I guess I would see if the community is really supportive of that. They say the community is supportive of it, but they're not chasing them in their communities. So again, chase people around affluent neighborhoods in Monona and see how supportive they are when those crashes are occurring in their affluent neighborhoods in Monona and in Maple Bluff. That's not where they're chasing people. So,
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
yep.
That's helpful to me.
All right. Thank you, Lynn. Alder Knox.
Sorry, I don't. Well, I guess my only question was, is there somebody here from legal that could address the question of what other legal remedies are there to recoup risk resources or something like that? Is there anyone from legal here or available?
I mean, for
Maybe
what it's worth,
the
my
attorney.
understanding is this. Oh, sorry.
That's my question. Is there somebody from legal or no?
Sorry, Chief. We do not currently have anyone from the city attorney's office on this meeting, Alder.
Okay, thank you.
Right. I see Kim Richmond has her hand up. Has her hand up.
We don't generally take
Yep.
questions from the
That's what I thought.
I just got a notification that it just started being recording. Did this not start from the beginning? That's my only question. Thank
That
you.
is correct.
Why wasn't it being recorded from the beginning? And
Because I'm
Alder Cole,
human.
please stop shaking your head at me.
Point of order, please.
Yeah. Let's
May I?
respect everybody. I'm
Yes,
sure we
thank
just.
you. This is again, this is not a time for speakers. That time already passed. So thank you. You can send a request via email and they can address those concerns. Thank you.
So thank you, Alder Cole. Any other questions, concerns? Seeing none, I believe that our challenge is to put a recommendation to the council for this. Is that correct? I'm just making sure I state that correctly. So having said that, all in favor of recommending this to the council?
Point of order, Chair. I
Yep.
think we should ha so are we having discussion now on the issue? Because we
Yep.
were asking questions from staff.
Okay.
So is this discussion now?
Go ahead.
Before we go to
Yep.
to
Discussion,
move on
correct.
that. Okay.
Thank
Yeah,
you.
I guess I just wanted to say that I don't feel real comfortable with supporting this resolution. And where I definitely understand the seriousness of it in terms of safety to Madison residents. On one hand, it looks like these other law enforcement agencies do have statutory authority to pursue within the city of Madison and vice versa. So I really, unless there's some other legal way to remedy this, in terms of risk reimbursement, things like that. As one of our panelists talked about, I just don't see where this resolution will really resolve the problem. So I would love for these different law enforcement agencies to come to some agreement of some type, and it sounds like they've had this discussion, but I just don't think this is the ultimate solution to this problem. So I'm not going to support this resolution or this recommendation. Thank you.
Any other discussions? Please raise your hand. All right, Ms. Curry.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to Assistant Chief Tai for providing some context behind the MPD's stance on this resolution, even though they weren't the drafters of it. Based on reading it and also part of conversations I recently had in my role as an alder in the 16th District, I know prior Chief Barnes was also working on something similar, and now hearing some of the statutory requirements and privileges and also efforts to come to some type of consensus, this resolution sounds like to me an effort put forth to create some of the accountability behind some pretty serious incidents that I think Assistant Chief Tai was saying. Something happens, it's in the newspaper, it's really prevalent, and then it goes away. But I just remember the last fatality when I was in my official role of three young people losing their life. And unfortunately, the way sometimes media spins that and some of the comments that we see on the news channels and social media is kind of, if you don't have anything to do, don't run from police. But I think we've also heard about some of the instances where maybe the crimes or offenses weren't as high or as much of a public safety risk as maybe perceived to be when the pursuit occurred. And so I'm in support of this. It sounds like it's pretty, I guess, shocking to go from this, from not having that, but having partnerships and understandings, but just fundamental differences of maybe thinking twice about when, or even the ability to revise internal policies to maybe come more to the table. Sometimes putting a dollar amount on that will make folks think second. So I'm in support of this and will be voting yes tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Lynn.
I actually have similar views to Alder Knox. Now that I understand the context behind it and got a little snippet of the culture of rate of pursuits, I'm not sure if fiscal pressure would change the individual decision of a police officer unless the policy changes. And this seems like a pretty far path down to make that impact in different communities. I also under, I hear I heard him say also that I don't think that my biggest concern was would this resolution actually impact officers' decisions to act in mutual aid. And I heard him say no, which is good, but I'm not sure if this approach is going to lead to accountability of policies across different municipalities. But I don't, you know, and it sounds like there's been some effort on Madison's part to try to have dialogues about it. So I don't know what the solution is, but I'm not sure if this approach of trying to have some fiscal responsibility or accountability attached to it is really going to be successful. So that was my comments.
All right. Thank you, Lynn. Alder Cole.
Thank you. So, this is not about fiscal responsibility. We're not trying to make money out of our neighbors. That's absolutely not the intent here. This is not an ordinance. This is an ask to our internal risk assessment team to create a process to evaluate damages. In this case, I mean, not in this case, because the resolution is actually open to anything, but we do share the example of the latest event where a car one of our police cars, was totally damaged and unusable, caught on fire. A police officer is hurt, still out of work. A canine also got hurt. So that's just one example of the damages that we are trying to assess. How much did that, how much was that expense? So I am not expecting this policy, or I'm not, I didn't put this together expecting that the entire county will just jump and create their own policies or change their minds. But I do expect that there's awareness created on the impacts of these unnecessary, risky, high, pursuits that are done specifically in areas, like Maple Grove and Monona, because if you look at the data from DOT, you will see that the numbers are staggering. They are the comparison for those two agencies across the county is it's unreal. Like the numbers for the entire county are the numbers for Monona, for example, are almost as high as the entire county for the sheriff on pursuits. And that doesn't make sense to me. We are just risking putting people at risk, not only in Madison, but also in the Monona area. We have schools all across that main corridor. We have young kids learning to drive already on these busy streets. And we just created more stress for really not a reason that is so tiring that we need to, that the person needs to be accomplished. I do want to echo Alder, former Alder Kerry, Rashard Lamar Nelson. He was one of the three people that were killed in 2024. That night that those three people died, they didn't get a chance to go to court. They didn't get a chance to contest their ticket. They didn't get a chance to go through the court system. They were just followed and killed without any due process. Next day, his baby daughter was born. So that kid doesn't have a father, even if he went up in jail, because I don't even know the circumstances of why that pursuit started. But people have the right to go through the entire process. It should not, a pursuit should not be used to establish the entire, to skip the entire legal process. So again, I'm not looking for accountability, or I'm not looking for them to change the policy. Do I want them to change the policy? Absolutely. But this is a way for us to create awareness of the staggering amount of pursuits that are happening around our community. The law is in place. We don't, the state statute is already, we are managed by the state statute. So the state statute already telling us, it's very clear, very direct, and tell us what every municipality can demand when there is mutual aid requested. So it's not, the statute is super clear. This is not a thing about just Madison being able to do this. Anybody in the state can actually take these actions. So I'm extremely passionate about this. I know that Ty is way more passionate than me about it. We understand the significant impact. I'm a little bit, I'm not gonna deny that the memo upset me because I don't want to capitalize on the situation, one of the situations most difficult that this community has endured, which was a school shooting. I don't, there's no need to for us to be bragging about what each other is doing or not doing. The core issue here is that every single time that someone gets hurt in a pursuit, we want to do something. Every single time that some damages happen to a property in the city of Madison, we want to do something. And the state law does not support that. However, in instances when there's mutual aid, we do have the opportunity to recoup the financial cost of that aid. So it happens that that's what the statute says. So that's what I am holding. That's what I'm, this resolution is coming forward in order to say, let's continue this conversation. Let's figure out ways that is not so dangerous for the people biking on our streets, or our pedestrians, or whatever. This is not just one cop pursuing an individual. There's a lot of things happening around us. We have a lot of density in Monona. We have a lot of density in Madison, and this is a high risk. Every single time, people's lives is put at risk. This police officer could have died, and I don't know what the conversation would have been then. if this police officer had died. So that this is what this is about. Again, I'm not asking, or we're not looking to make money out of this. I'm totally confident that as part of the memo that really made me again solidified this resolution, because the memo from Monona was very clear. They will continue to provide mutual aid. They will continue to collaborate with us. And yes, we have differences in our policies, but and that's fine if that's what you want to do. But if you come into our streets, we should at least follow our policy that you're coming into. And if you cannot do that, then let's assess how much in like in a situation like in a situations where there are extraordinary circumstances, let's just talk money then. That's where my intent was behind this policy. And again, I want to say people that have gotten killed or have gotten hurt throughout this process, the media and some people, not everybody, tends to just take the easy way out, the lazy way out. They shouldn't run from police. I don't care if they run from the police. They have the right to a day in court. People should not have to die because of this. So that's where I'm coming from. And if you have any questions about my intentions on this, please feel free to ask. But that's where I'm coming from.
Thank you, Alder Cole. Alder Knox.
Yeah, I just don't want people to assume that I or anyone else don't take this situation seriously. Most people know it's very rare that I probably would not be supporting a recommendation that's supported by the chief of police or the police department. But I just, and maybe I'm missing some pieces here, but this is a resolution. I don't see the amounts attached to it. I wonder if we're creating a procedure where those steps are, and would this assessment be done by risk management, which would tend to be the appropriate, arm to assess risk. And so I just have so many questions. Who would be doing the assessment, all of that? So in my mind, right now, I don't think this particular resolution would be effective in, quote, deterring the behaviors that we're trying to prevent. And I just don't think it's, as one of my former council colleagues used to say, I don't think it's soup yet. So I'm just not going to support it.
All right. Thank you, Alder Knox. Lynn?
And related to that, I think the resolution says extraordinary measures. It never mentions the word pursuit, although I understand your passion for like the day, I understand the work and the passion that's going into it. Is there a reason why you could not, other than fluffing some feathers because of the discussion, is there a reason why you couldn't target more specifically the extraordinary measure for pursuits? That's my question. And I'm not sure who can answer it, but it seems to me more precise since that is really the fundamental concern, I think, of this resolution is to have a dialogue instead of process for using a fiscal hammer, so to speak, but really is really to try to make policies more consistent or have accountability of them. So that's my question. Could it be tweaked to have more specifically pursued rather than extraordinary measure? Well, that's my question.
Thank you, Lynn. Anybody got an answer for that question? I thought Alder Cole, your hand went up. Yes, okay.
Well, I was going to ask Matt if he has any input on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we certainly could. And again, my expertise isn't necessarily in the legal mechanisms, but I think that I guess, there's this is just really allowing to do what's already allowed by state law. So I guess and I think that the reason it's open like that, I think, is to allow the chief to make decisions about when this would be appropriate. And so I think using the term like extraordinary to me would mean that this isn't a run of the mill. And again, I would go back to the number of times that we're providing. I mean, we're providing mutual aid, 120 plus times a month, and so we're certainly not trying to think that we would put a bill, that we're going to try to be billing people for all of these things. But I do think when you have an officer that's nearly killed, you have a squad car that's, totally destroyed, the workers' comp, the medical, all of that. I mean, that there's a lot of cost to that. And I don't think it's good that what's going to change the officer's behavior is SOPs. But municipal governments have influence over the SOPs of their police departments. And I think that if municipalities are having to bear some of the financial costs of the decisions of their police departments, that may in fact influence things. I mean, I don't know that it's not going to influence people. And so I think that there is, I know that, I mean, that was some of the discussion that's occurred. And so I think it would be better for all the residents of Dane County for us all to have similar pursuit policies, at least when you're going to be pursuing. And we've been unable to reach an agreement on this. So I think bringing it to the light of the community, municipalities, but again, I don't know that I would limit this, other than what's, it's just trying to create a mechanism for what's allowed by state law. And so I think that we should be allowed to bill people as is allowed in state law.
Thank you, Ahmad. Yeah, so I think the intent of that language is to be the pursuit is just one aspect of it. So it is really to keep it a broader concept, but at the same time capping it as extraordinary circumstances. I mean, this has to go through the insurance company, all of that stuff. So we wouldn't, I don't see us billing every single item. This is just for things that are that the risk management people, the way I visualize this is for the risk management team to put a policy in place that then ends up back in common council for us to review and approve. So that's kind of the next step on this. Let's put a policy together, let's put some thresholds together and figure out what that language is. But right now the resolution, again, not an ordinance, the resolution is to direct the work for staff to allocate resources to put this policy in place and to build a policy to manage this situation. And I imagine once that policy is available, we can easily route it back to this committee to make more recommendations if needed.
Thank you, Article. Lynn, did you have your hand up?
And just a comment as an educator, I had to have the interpretation tonight to understand that it's not just pursuit, but it's a big part of this effort is to stimulate discussion about inconsistent pursuit policies. And I don't think that will come through in communities with the current resolution. And I'm not, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, because extraordinary measures is very broad and I understandably so, but if really the point is to push or try to stimulate discussion about inconsistent or a big part of the resolution is to try to make more aware of the differing pursuit policies and how they impact communities. I, as a member of the public, I don't read that in the resolution. So that's my comment.
All right, thank you, Lynn. Any other comments, concern? Oh, Vincent.
Thank you. Listening to the compelling arguments from both sides, I think there's a clear intent for this. And I think that at this point, I feel personally that it lacks the way to move forward is to communicate, like what Lynn said, how it impacts the community. But not only that, we are reviewing public safety elements within these policies or these resolutions. I think it would be good if those terms could be defined more, if they would allow us to better understand the scope of what it's going. And to Alderman Cole, point that this would allow the build out of that if it were to move forward. I feel like it would be good to build out that out, give us a little bit more meat to the context on how that would look like when it does get built out. And I completely understand the mission. I understand the intent. It is good intent to move forward. It is to keep the public safe. It is to make the public safer. Give enough of that so that it makes us all understand that on the same page. And I think you'll have a better shot of moving this forward if we all feel that, hey, this is definitely something we can all agree on to move forward with similar resolutions or that would possibly dictate policies within these communities, surrounding communities. So I think that's where I'm feeling is I like the idea. I like that there are steps to make it happen. I'm lacking the substances to get there. And so I would like to support it, but I do need more understanding of what it means. The context within the resolution itself does not give me all of that. And I understand it's the early stages. So a little bit more would help bridge that gap between those of us that may support it or may not support it and bring us to the middle where we can all say, this is a good resolution. Let's build it out.
Thank you, Vincent. Anybody else? Comments, concerns, questions, remarks? All right, well, seeing none, I guess to oh, there we go, Alder Cole.
I don't think we put a motion on the table yet, so we want to make sure that that happens before we vote.
All right. You want
Thank
to go
you.
ahead and put a motion?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, if somebody else has a motion with different language that you want to use or recommendation, like what Vincent was just talking about, if you want to, I'll give you the space for that. But I'm not sure.
Alder Knox.
It sounds like I hear, which I would agree, several people say we'd like to have more detail on this resolution, more explanation, more definitions, and who would do what, how this procedure would work. So I guess if I would say I would maybe propose, I don't know if it would be tabled, or I don't know where it goes next. I guess it should go to or our committee. I just don't feel like that I, for one, have enough information to approve it. So I guess beyond that, I guess I would move for not approving it
Alder Cole.
without more detail. And
Okay.
maybe it could come back with the kind of specificity that we need in order to support it. I don't know if that's a resolution or not, but does that make sense? I could withdraw that if someone else has a better motion to make. But I think it should come back. Maybe that's the issue. I think come back with more detail, more specifics about the procedure, more about who would do the assessment, all of that before I would feel comfortable supporting such a resolution.
Thank you, Alder Knox. Alder Cole.
Well, I'm unclear if that's a motion or not, because I'm not sure. Is that a motion?
If it's acceptable as a motion, yeah. But I'm willing to withdraw that for another motion to proceed.
I mean,
If you want
I
to, if you want to second it, then
yeah,
it
I
will
don't
be a
want to
motion.
second it.
Okay, I didn't think so.
I appreciate all the feedback on the language on this resolution. And again, I'm going to stick. This is what the state law already allows to do, so we're not doing anything. We're not creating a new law, so that's kind of number one thing. But if creating clarity on providing clarity on the wording on regards to extenuating circumstances is something that you guys feel strong that needs to be changed, then we should. I'm okay putting a motion forward that directs us the sponsors and legal to work on that. I still feel that this will come back to you in a form of a procedure, which is then what is really the important matter. What procedure will be born from this, and then you guys get to scrutinize that and make it better if it doesn't fit your needs. But I will rather you give us the direction to work on some of the language versus just stopping the process. So I would like to put forward to recommendation to adopt with the recommendation of working on a more clear definition of what extraordinary circumstances are, and perhaps work with what's the team risk management to see if we can have a some sort of summary of what an SOP will look like. But again, the intent here is for them to kick off and to allocate resources to kick off that SOP. So the motion will be to adopt with the recommendation to be more explicit about the definition of extraordinary circumstances, and a perhaps expand on the ask of what do we want to see on that standard operating procedure.
Thank you, Alder Knox. You have a comment.
Can you hear
Alder
me?
Knox? Oh, you're
Yes.
knocking.
Did she get a second on her motion?
No, so that was Alder Cole's motion. Do we have a second on that motion?
I didn't want to second the motion.
Ms. Curry says, has a second. All
So
in
now we're in
favor?
discussion. Oh,
Yeah,
well,
discussion. What?
now we can have discussion on the motion.
Yeah, I
All
guess so. Yes.
right, so discussion
I
on the
think so.
motion.
Yes. Yeah, I appreciate the motion. Again, I mean, it seems like they could go and work on this proposal anyway, and then bring it back as a procedure, more defined. So I'm not going to support that motion. Thank you.
Anybody else for discussion? Lynn?
I'm trying to write a rec. This is a little hard. I'm trying to write a recommendation here, or a motion. So here's what I'm thinking, and it's actually trying to meld Alder Cole's comments. And so, and rather than passing it with a recommendation, I'd like to flip that around. I'd like to either. So I'm just going to talk about what I'm thinking, and then maybe if this sounds good to people, we can make it into a motion. So I would recommend to table the discussion, table the voting on the discussion until more specifics are provided, including a more clear definition of what extraordinary measures are, and to a more clear definition of the process that will be undertaken to assess the risk. Think that's the best word. So I'm trying to, because to me, the big thing is extraordinary measures and understanding better the process that Alder Cole wants to go through with, and I think that addresses some of the concerns. So I'm babbling a little bit because I'm trying to write this, but I is it a recommendation to table the discussion until more information can be provided? That, and there's two pieces to that, a better def or a more precise definition of extraordinary measures and a more definitive explanation of the process undertaken to assess the risk and the costs. What
Thank
do you
you, Lynn.
think?
We have Alder Duncan with his hand up.
Yep, so we already have a motion on the floor with a second, so we would need to vote on that one before we take up another motion.
Correct. Okay.
All right, we have two hands up. Alder Cole was first.
Yeah, I was going to, again, it's hard for me to give you a process when that's what I'm asking for. just doesn't, I don't, I'm asking for the process to be developed. So if I, you know, if I knew the process, I'll give you the process. So that's just, I understand the clarity question about the terminology, but this is the intent, to ask for the process to be built. So I can't give you that. That's what I keep on saying. Once the process is built, we should be able, maybe we can add, I mean, I don't know if I added that, but that process can come back to us, or I can make sure that is in the resolution that comes back to us for review and for you guys to review it. So, but it's very, I mean, I again, I don't, yeah.
All right. Hold on. Alder Knox, then Alder Patrick. Can't hear you, Alder Knox.
I said I'm not a parliamentarian, but couldn't Lynn's motion be a substitute motion, and we could act on that first?
It could be an amendment, yes, if she's wanting
Amendment?
to make an
Yeah.
amendment, yeah.
Right.
All right.
So, and I think that's what she was trying to get to. I don't know if it has to be written here or it could be verbal because we're a s committee, but I think that's what she was trying to do. I'm not
So
a
do
parliamentarian, so I can't tell you, but I think that would be in order for hers to be an amendment to the motion on the floor.
correct.
And I'd be willing to second it if she would consider that an amendment.
All right, real quick, Alder Cole. Can't hear you.
Look at me regressing. Yes, Lynn, so again, just I would like to ask for consideration regarding the asking for the process that I don't have. Like, it's just not the order of operation at this moment. Thank you.
Thank you. So on the floor right now, we have the motion for Lynn's recommendation, correct? I'm trying to
So
make sure.
I will amend the amendment because I understand that there is no, we can't ask for more clarification on the process since really the process is not determined yet. So the amendment would be to include a more, if that's the right verb, include a more precise definition of extraordinary measures. And that would be part, that would be the main thing for me. And I don't know if Alder
And
Koch wants, has
you
that.
mentioned a more definitive process also.
Yeah, but I understand that from Alder Cole's comments that there is no definitive process right now, since that's going to kick in with the resolution. Is that correct, Alder Cole? So we can't
That's
really ask for more.
correct. That is
Yes.
the point of it, to
Yeah.
create a process.
So
Yeah.
could you, okay, could you, here, I have a suggestion then, because I think that's some confusion. So the amendment would be to make more precise the wording, the definition of extraordinary measures. That's part A. And two, make more precise the intent of the motion to establish a process for assessing risk. Because I didn't read that after reading it a couple times. I can't say that that was really the thrust I got from this. Would that be fair?
Okay, that'd be good.
All right, can you state that again? Because I'm a little foggy on what's on
Okay,
the
so
table.
the amendment would be to recommend to include in the resolution more precise definition of extraordinary measures, and to or B include a more precise definition of the intent of establishing a process to establish to well establishing the process to assess risk, and I want to say cost, but that's not quite the right word. Impact, cost, financial impact. Would you say that's fair? So, because really the intent is to establish this process to move forward. And I think the underlying process is all about just having a discussion to make municipalities more aware of what could be happening with their costs. But so I'm going to repeat that one more time. So the amendment would be to include in the resolution a more precise definition of extraordinary measures and a more precise definition of the intent to establish a process to
And I will
assess.
leave it at that. Yep.
That's fair.
I will second that.
Point of order. And so would you be approving this now as opposed to before that you were not?
If these can be added, because that those are my major, I'm similar to you in the concern about the process, but now I under, you know, it is in fact hard to get more details on a process when there is not one that exists. But I think having the wording in there to say, you know what, this is about establishing process. So I think to make that clearer, I would feel comfortable with. And if you wanted to add in something like, I mean, you have to come back to the committee at the midterm, you know.
Yeah, I guess I would add, because here's the thing, if it leaves here, it leaves another committee, it could be voted on the council floor and never come back unless somebody requests referral, and even that may not be approved. So that's my concern, that it won't come back.
Good point.
So I would weigh on the other side not to approve it. Let it go out and develop, and then maybe it comes back. It gets referred back to address it, those details that we're looking for. That's my mind. I've seconded your motion, but
Okay. Well,
I'm just wondering if it'll ever come back. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah, so I would almost do what you were thinking earlier, the opposite, to make sure that, okay, we did approve it. We could try to get it re-referred. I guess either way, it could be voted on either way. So that's my perspective on it. I just wonder what, and then it'll be what will come back. It may never come back to us. And then it's the council's thing to decide if it has enough meat on the bones or not. I can't predict the council's vote on anything, trust me.
Okay. After you, Alder Knox, I know Assistant Chief Ty had his hand up. You still have a comment?
Well, my only other comment is, I keep hearing people say, as Assistant Chief Ty says, they only want to create what's already in existence. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? If it's already the authority to do it, I would suspect that risk management could always go after to recover some risk funds based on some damages to the city all the time. So I just kind of wondering what makes this different than anything else, unless there's some statutory language that says that you can't recover that from another, public entity. That's a legal question that we don't have anyone here to answer that question. That's my last.
All right, I think Assistant Chief Ty had his hand up, then it went to Alder Duncan.
No
No?
question. No question.
All right.
Yeah, just for context, I do think just from the chief of the one part that I would say, I know we want to define extraordinary, but that's from a practical police standpoint, that is going to be difficult to do. You could set up a process that required some sort of council approval or some sort of way for this body to review. I mean, you could set up a process that allowed for decisions to be made, but extraordinary. It's hard to define extraordinary because we don't know what the circumstances are going to be. And I think that the intent of this whole resolution is there's stuff that you can occur in state statute, but there still has to be a city process. And as has been articulated by the folks in the room today, that this body and council wants to be able to weigh in on these things. And so, you could have risk management just, I suppose, go and potentially bill, although I think that we still have to have, I mean, when we, again, when we get a grant approved or we accept money, I mean, we're always having to get council approval for a variety of things. And so that may be a way to allow you guys to have authority. Like, it's going to be tough for us as a police department to define every time something's going to be extraordinary, because the state statute doesn't limit that. You could decide that rather than defining extraordinary, that like there'll be a process for legislative to decide when something's extraordinary. So just a thought on that, because it's if it came back to us to decide like when is it, what is extraordinary, not ordinary. I don't know. It's tough to define.
Thank you, Assistant Chief. Auditor Cole.
Which that kind of reminds me that we actually do have a process about for claims to come back to council. So every single agenda has a bunch of claims section, and it will be a matter of then flag these claims to be sent over for review. But we do the claims will be on the agenda regardless, as that's what the claims process is. But in general. So again, I support the change to at least try to talk to legal in regards to a language that mimics that term, and then direct them to create a process that we can review. I have to go back to the resolution perhaps, but I still feel like we have an opportunity as a committee to review the policy once it's active. Like we review any MPD processes, we should be able to review this policy once it's created.
Okay, so where are we at?
Think we go for a vote, maybe.
All right, and the vote, let's
Well, do you have a motion? Do you still have a substitute at the table? You may want to
believe
restate the substitute
well,
first.
how about this? I know it's going to be tricky to have a very precise definition of extraordinary measures, but I heard Alder Cole say that that could be discussed, right? And secondly, I heard that we could put in that a policy. When a policy or process is developed, it will be reviewed by this committee before moving forward to the full vote. Is that I kind of heard that. Is what you were saying, Alder Cole, that we could put a little teeth in to make sure it comes back to the committee before
Once
we.
the process is completed, once they
Yes,
review
once
the
the process
process,
is.
bring it back to council and this committee for review.
Okay.
Yep, that
Okay.
will be fine. And again, I will still, that will be an amendment, and I imagine that's a friendly amendment, so I will still second that amendment.
Okay, so there's two pieces. The more discussion about more precise extraordinary measures and require that the policy will be come back to this committee and for
Cancel.
review before final adoption.
Correct.
All right.
That's fine with me.
Now, having said that, do we have a motion on the floor?
Yep.
Well, that's the motion, and I
That's the
second it already.
motion.
Yeah, and I second that.
All right,
Yeah.
second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. And I apologize, Lisa, you had wanted to say something earlier, but I think you
I'm
fell in
good.
line. All right, great discussion, everybody. I apologize, a little foggy about how to. I think it was a motion on the motion to the motion to the motion, and I got a little confused, so I apologize. But great discussion. This is what it's all about, to work it out.
Thank you.
So, all right, do you have that in writing and on camera there, Andrea?
It's very unclear to me what the actual motion that will need to go into the minutes is. We are recorded, so I can certainly go back, but to navigate the back and forth, it would be helpful to have someone, perhaps Alder Cole, reiterate the language and then get everyone once again to confirm or not confirm. Thank you.
Okay, so I don't have Lynn's words in front of
Maybe
me, but
Lynn
Lynn,
should
can you start?
restate the motion.
Yeah, Lynn.
Can't
We can hear you, Lynn.
hear you.
Yes, I can. It's a work in progress, but I think I got the two. We agreed on the two main points. I could send something to you that you could integrate. Would that be good? Or do you want me to say anything?
So again, to summarize it, is to work on the wording for extraordinary circumstances. And once the process is developed, to be sent back to council and this committee for review.
Yeah, before adoption.
before adoption. Yes.
Got that, Miss A, Miss Andrea.
So the
All
committee,
righty.
just to clarify, the committee is recommending to council with these
Modifications.
modifications.
Yes.
Just to clarify, thank you.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, everybody. Great, great, great discussion. And you know what? We did that without totally debating or degrading one another. So I truly appreciate that. So thank you. Next up, Madison Police.
Well, I'm afraid my update's going to be anticlimactic after that. So
That's
I do apologize,
a
but I will,
good
yeah, I'll try
thing.
not to take too much of your time, but I did just want to recap kind of the last couple months in our police world, with some talk about some major cases that we've been working on. We've had, unfortunately, we had four traffic crashes in the last couple months that resulted in six fatalities. One particular crash had three victims, and that's still under investigation. But obviously, sad to see that these traffic crashes continue, and with a high death rate, unfortunately. In addition to that, we had two homicides, one in the 4700 block of Dutch Mill Road on October 9th, which is about the last time we met, actually. And on November 17th, we had a homicide in the 2400 block of Brentwood Parkway on the north side. Both are a result of gun violence. Those are actively being worked by our violent crime unit. And I should say that the traffic crashes are still being investigated by our traffic team that handles all of those major traffic incidences. Last time we did talk about the Summer Traffic Safety Initiative, and that data hadn't been available. So I just wanted to hit a couple of highlights on that. And again, if anybody's interested in the full report that came out, I'm happy to email that to them after this meeting. But essentially, we had, as you recall, the Traffic Safety Initiative ran from June 1 to September 1. During that time, we had the Madison Police Department gave 3,269 traffic citations during that period. 78% of those were focusing on hazardous violations. So the top two violations that we typically observed and then wrote citations for were for speeding, which is a common complaint in the city, and red signal violations, which if you drive down the street, you will probably see one on your way to work in the morning. So we really focused on those two particular instances of hazardous violations. We also wrote a number of citations for operating without a driver's license. Usually that occurs when we stop someone and recognize that they in fact do not have a driver license, and so we also often issue that citation as well. During the course of the summer, we had 2,900 case numbers pulled for officers to just do proactive traffic all around the city. Covered about 2,370 hours worth of officer time to spend with high visibility in areas known for high injury network corridors. We had a slight reduction in crashes from summer 24 to summer 25, from 857 to 847, but injury crashes were down from 256 to 223 over those summer months. So we're kind of encouraged by those trends. I think this is something that will continue as we move forward to next summer, because I do think it gives officers a sense of purpose in being very proactive about traffic, as we know that in the city, that is a chief concern for many of us who drive the streets and walk in them every day. So I just wanted to give an update on that. Again, if you want more information on that data, please just send me an email. I'm happy to get that back to you. And then finally, we had our annual shift pick process this year. This is a huge event for the Madison Police Department. It's when patrol comes together and picks their shifts and beats for the year. We had 267 officers pick a spot in patrol this year, spanning five shifts. We have 34 recruit officers that are still with us in field training, and we'll go solo at shift change. And then our annual MPD shift change is February 1st, 2026 this year. So you'll have new cops on the street and in different beats and in different districts. So it's a time of change for us and a time of ending the year, but also a time of preparing for change into 2026. I left the citywide notable calls on there. And then Chief Patterson's second quarter report to the Common Council is on the attachment to this as well, if you're interested. And that is all I have from the police department. Thank you.
Alder Knox.
Yeah, thank you for that lively, enthusiastic report.
That's me, Alder Knox.
No, but what I did want to ask, do you have those changes? Is it annually or is it every 2 years for officers to, get changed to a different assignment?
Annually. So every year we have shift change right around the first week of February. So
So I just was curious, has there been any like research or feedback on, the impact of those changes? Are they voluntary or involuntary? Because it always seems like right when we're getting used to an officer, then next thing the shuffle comes. So can
yeah,
you
no, that's
elaborate on that a
you
little
bet.
bit
You
for me?
bet. That's a great question. So officers are allowed to pick their shift beat on classification seniority. We have a number of officers every year who love the district that they work in and want to stay in that particular beat and that particular district and that particular shift. And so not much would change for a lot of them because they've been doing it a long time and they know the people and if they want to work on the south side, they're going to work on the south side. Some of our newer officers, they'll move around early in their career, one because they have to, because they're forced out of positions due to seniority, and two because they're curious about learning more about the city. I think we always tell people, get to know the city as much as possible. We have six districts. When you work in different beats and districts, you get to know different officers, you get to know different community members, and you get to have different experiences. And so I think it's I think that people can, get set in their ways and like what they like and know that they are going to be patrolling this street every year for the rest of their careers. And then there are some people who just like to move around. So I think it varies.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Alder Cole.
Thank you. As the alder who has three police stations, I concur. There are three very different, it's like going into three different realms on the city of Madison. I mean, the core is the same, but there's a lot of differences between them, and it's always good to learn the different cultures within each department. So I concur with you. On regards to the data that you presented here, as significant since last meeting, is there any significant increase on DUIs or any data that pops up the DUI bucket, especially now during the season?
We'll have to run the numbers on the DUIs to be honest. That wasn't included in the final traffic report, but anecdotally, I'd say that things are pretty much the same. But I would have to run the numbers for sure. We have several. We process several OWIs,
I
unfortunately.
mean, there was an accident recently, but associated to a tavern in Verona, maybe, or Fishburg or something. But the accident happened in our side. So I don't know. I personally interested on that kind of data because I think it's as important again to create awareness of driving, drinking and driving. Sometimes we focus on when the kids were taking joy cars, and that was all over the media. Like, we all just focus on that. But these driving, drinking and driving is like a huge, it's a big problem in Wisconsin, but it's a big problem here in Madison, also. So it would be
Yeah,
nice to create
I'll take a
awareness on
look.
that too.
For sure, I'll take a look and I'll just run some numbers and I'll get them to you. You always ask me for data. I knew I should have expected data questions. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alder Cole. Alder Knox.
I forgot the one thing I did ask for previously, if at some point you guys could come and give us a staff demographic report so we could see that, see how we're doing on our or diversifying our officer staff and
Yes.
promotions and things like that.
And I can just send you our annual report. It's all in there. I think
But
that's
I
why I
think it would
didn't.
be beneficial to the
Sure.
committee as well.
Sure, I
Okay.
can prepare some slides for next week or for next
Yeah.
time.
Yeah,
Next
next
time.
meeting. Okay, that would be
Yeah,
great. Thank you.
let's talk in 2 months and not next week. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye bye.
All right. Any other comments, concerns, questions? Well, I want to say thank you. I also like to acknowledge Madison Police on a couple of things. Number one, I know the Madison Police Department was very instrumental in the situation that we had at White Horse Motor School. So thank you, Matt, and your team for supporting that. That was something that was very surprising, alarming, but thank you for the support. Also, I'd like to recognize Madison Police on this Sunday at 9 a.m. at the Walmart on Nakusa, the 100 Black Men, and Shannon Blackmore and the Madison Police Department are doing Shop with a Cop. Well, you might say we've heard that before. Well, my twisted brain sometimes thinks of things in a different way. So instead of shopping with a student, we actually shop with the parent. And we put the parent and the police officer together so that the parent could be empowered and walk around the store and spend time with the officer and get to know them to break down some of those barriers. And last year when we did it, I don't know if you know about this, officers, a parent, single black female, was looking for support for her son that was having some very severe mental health situations. And because of that day, last year around the same time, she was able to get that support from the officer. So we built a lot of bonds. So we're doing it this Sunday. And the great Dr. Rose that you know of, president of 100 Black Men, he loved us so much that he is expanding it. So it's gonna be not only just people from my particular school, it's gonna be some parents throughout the city of Madison, Sun Prairie, Verona, and who knows else. So it's gonna be about 16 to 20 families. So thank you on behalf of that. And we the 100 with Madison Police, we provide a gift card for the parent, and then usually Walmart matches that. So tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., I got to call the regional manager and wake him up with some coffee. So we appreciate that support, and please know that you are very valuable. We love the relationship. Any one of y'all who want to come to my school, you are more than welcome. Next up, fire department. Do we have anybody here from the fire department?
You do, Alder. Good evening. I'll keep this brief as well since we've taken enough of your time earlier. So you guys should have received our statistics from the past month. I'm not going to delve through them too completely. Feel free to review those and you can reach out with any questions. We too will be making our changes the first of the year. January 18th will be some movement of some of our personnel and staff due to promotions, reclassification. We actually have three chief officers retiring this year. So we'll have three new chief officers coming into the mix, and I can give you a report on them in the next month, just so as you see them around, you'll know who they are and kind of those changes that we have within us. Probably our biggest significant one is, unfortunately, this morning we had a house fire over on Bell Street. We did have two adults and I believe five children displaced from that. There were no injuries during that event, which was good. But unfortunately, there's going to be a family out of a house here for the holidays. So I believe they're working with Red Cross and some different groups to get relocated there. And probably lastly, January 6th, we'll have 24 new recruits starting our academy. They'll be spending some time out at MATC doing some EMT training and some firefighter training. We will get them About 8 weeks after that, then June 6th, we'll have 24 probationary firefighters out into the field to support what we have going on with serving the city in that area. So that is a very quick and brief rundown for what we have from fire.
Thank you, Alder Knox.
Obviously, I'm interested in what that recruit class looks like from a demographic perspective. Can you share that with us?
I do not have that information offhand, but I can easily get that and get that forwarded out to the PSRC group with what the demographics and makeup of this next recruit class is for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Alder Knox. Alder Cole.
Thank you. Thank you for the report. Could you please define that incident category 600, good intent call?
So typically what those come out for us is we'll have any number of, residents within the city that need assistance with, it could be, they've got a concern within their house. It could be getting into, it's kind of a general catch-all for just some of our areas of assistance that we provide to where, honestly, if it's not something that needs law enforcement, we go and assist with it. And that's just an area for us to where it's not necessarily a fire alarm. It's not a vehicle accident. It could be something simply with helping somebody into their home. It's just a general assistance that we have. So it covers any number of calls that we have for those.
Okay, thank you. And I mean, I'm looking through this report. It's pretty extensive. Is there room? I don't know if there's room here, but how does this committee get the combination of CARES versus MPD versus you guys? Does CARES represent separately, or how does that work?
Yeah, so typically what our dispatch has up at the Dane County Comm Center is as they receive calls or receive recommendations, they have a certain protocol list or a question list that they'll go through to determine if it's, say, an emergency response that would require an EMS response or a fire response. They'll determine if it requires law enforcement response. But then they also can qualify in the categories where, again, if it's some sort of mental health crisis or need, but then it falls under the CARES group to get dispatched for it. So I'd have to get some better information, or we could have one of the Dane County representatives from a dispatch center on to explain that to you better.
No,
We don't have.
I meant like the data itself. Like, does this data and the MPD data, does it contain CARES calls, or are they kept separate?
How MPD would do though, but we keep our CARES calls separate versus our EMS responses. And some of those will overlap if CARES happens to respond and they realize that it is an emergent medical need, then we will send an ambulance to them to support them. Or it could be the other way around where we have an ambulance dispatch there. Our people speak with the patient, speak with the individual, realize that CARES could be a benefit to them. Then we would have a CARES. So there is some overlap to it, but for us, for the most part, we keep our CARES stats separate from our fire and EMS listings.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alder Cole. Any other questions, concerns, or comments for Assistant Chief Larson? All right, seeing none. Next up, report from the Alders. Any special report? Special plans for the holiday?
You know, I really love Madison, but unfortunately, I have to go to Florida to get some warm weather. Need to go see my 3-month-old grandson, so new grandson. But I'll be back. I'm only going to be gone 4 days, so you guys will see me. And don't be surprised if you see me at a bowl game in Iowa Hawkeye gear. Don't take it personally. It's Big Ten.
All right. Well, I heard it's supposed to be a cold spell in Florida when you're down there. That's what I heard. I
Thanks
don't
a lot. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
know. Any other report from any auditors?
I don't have anything at this moment.
No.
Thank you.
All
But have a
right.
good
I
holiday,
do.
everybody. Great holiday and
Wish
hopefully
everybody
safe.
a
And
happy holiday.
yeah.
That's it. Have a happy holiday. Be safe. Have
Don't think
fun.
about this. Don't think about us.
No
Just,
more snow. How
yeah.
about
Oh
that?
my
Yeah.
God.
Amen
Yes.
to that.
No more snow.
Yeah.
Oh,
And
my gosh.
from my report, I will be spending the holidays up here in Madison and going to get my 96-year-old dad, who was born March 14th in 1929.
Wow.
So he's from Bonita, Louisiana, population 406, and I think 300 were my relatives back in the
Did you say
day.
Leeds? Did you say Leeds?
Bonita, Louisiana.
Oh, Bonita. Okay. Yeah.
So spending time with him, and I want to send a shout out to Miss Curry right there, who's not on camera right now, being steadfast for the oversight committee. And next Tuesday, I'm doing a holiday party for my Black Student Union. You are more than welcome to come, you all. We're going to have a little soul food and fun. So I have some dynamic young ladies and men, averaging a 3.6 and above.
Is that La Follette High School?
La
Right? La
Follette, the one
Follette.
and only.
Oh, okay.
That's the one and only. Well known in the city. But no, it's an honor to work with everybody. Thank you for the rigorous conversation earlier. I must admit, I was getting a little lost. I'm the voice for La Follette basketball. So we had a big game last night with Verona. So I was here to 9:30 last night, and now I'm here to 6:40 and texting my wife. And I was gonna go Christmas shopping, but I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Go shop with a cop.
I'm doing that Sunday. Can I
Thank you,
get a
guys.
motion for adjournment?
Oh, that's right. Move to turn. I forgot about that part.
I second. I second it.
Got a second. Everybody have a nice holiday. Stay safe, and looking forward to working with you in 2026. Oof.
I know.
Happy
All right.
holidays.
Have
Good
a good
night.
one. Yep.